good girl. Love the mess, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo.
Welcome, this is Free Thought Radio Hour, coming to you from Knoxville, Tennessee. It's, I'm watching my dials here, they're not giving me much volume. I'll see what I can do about that. excuse me. This is a show where we will be talking about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. Hold on. There we go. And we'll conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, okay, I'm getting no volume at all here. I guess that's better, hopefully. Welcome to Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5. This is the show where we talk about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. Conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faith, gods, holy books, and superstition. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are a lot of atheist songs, and you'll be hearing some of them right here on this program. Tonight, we're going to center on the concept of atheism itself. And if you have any questions or comments during the show, you can always call in and discuss those at 333-5937. And what exactly is an atheist? What is an agnostic? This is one of the most common questions we on Free Thought Forum field from the audience. Free Thought Forum, of course, is a public access TV show that I co-host occasionally. I'm not able to do it very much because of my working hours. But most people mistakenly think that an agnostic, is a person halfway between a believer and a non-believer. That is, they're not sure whether they believe in God or not. It's not the case. Gnosticism doesn't address belief. It addresses knowledge. Simply put, theism speaks to belief. Theists believe in God. Atheists don't. So it's all about belief and not knowledge. That's where agnosticism comes in. Gnosticism speaks to knowledge, or knowledge of God, theoretically a professed knowledge of God. Gnostics have to have claimed knowledge of God. Agnostics don't. You can be both at the same time. Personally, I'm an agnostic atheist, and most atheists are. We can't know for certain that there are no gods of any type anywhere in the universe. We just don't believe in them. And that's where the knowledge and belief comes in. There are hard Gnostic atheists. Those are people who claim that they know that God does not exist and can prove it through logical arguments. There are soft atheists who claim that they don't know and indeed can't know and can't prove it, but don't believe in God just the same. There are hard theists, in other words, Gnostic theists, who claim they know that God exists and can prove it through logical arguments. Agnostic theists, or soft theists, claims that they don't know, and indeed can't know, that God exists, but they believe it, they have faith. They can't prove it, but they do believe. So those are agnostic theists. Atheists often identify themselves as free thinkers, secularists, realists, rationalists, and or secular humanists. However, if you look up the word atheist in certain dictionaries, you might encounter phrases like one who denies the existence of God, thereby implying that we are in denial of reality. They also can call us infidel, non-believers, immoral, and evil. After all, even dictionary compilers are human, and some are religious, and subject to the same biases as regular authors. Good examples of this can be found in older versions of Webster's dictionary. Webster was a Christian, a theist, and obviously had an axe to grind against atheists. Atheists are found the world over. In some countries, the majority of the population are atheists and secularists. For instance, China, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Japan, and many European countries are primarily atheistic. And globally, atheists make up about 45% of all mankind, and growing. Now, don't think for a minute that all atheists are like Western atheists. Western atheists like me, American atheists, generally don't hold any kind of superstitious beliefs at all. However, Eastern atheists, like Buddhists, Taoists, Confucius, may have some superstitious beliefs, but they still don't believe in a god. For instance, Buddhists don't think that Buddha was a god. However, they do have some superstitious beliefs about, or supernatural beliefs, about the afterlife. They may believe that they come back as a different form of life. Other societies like Japan, although they don't worship a god, they may still believe in worshiping their ancestors. They're not all atheists are not the same, and please don't think that we are. However, the Western flavor, American, European flavor of atheists generally don't have any superstitious beliefs at all, supernatural beliefs. Not only that, but the countries with the lowest religious index numbers are some of the most prosperous and peaceful countries in the world. They are flourishing societies. When measured by normal standards of societal health, that is, the number of homicides, rapes, teenage pregnancy, and illegal drug use, these countries show lower numbers across the board than countries with primarily religious populations. They also score higher in the areas of public health and education. It tends that the poorest countries in America, the poorest states, are the most religious and have the lowest societal health numbers. Also, the poorer the country, the more its citizens turn to religion for hope that it purports to offer. It seems to be a direct correlation that the more religious belief a society has, the lower the societal numbers, and vice versa. So it's a self-reinforcing cycle. If your societal numbers are low, your wish for a better life, better society is high, and you may hope for it in the form of religion. How do you break out of this cycle? Ruthlessly examine the supernatural beliefs that you may have and ask for evidence. Don't settle for supernatural explanations or anecdotal evidence. Educate yourself and your children. It doesn't have to be college. Go online, get the answers and the evidence that you need through the internet. The world's knowledge is at your fingertips. Ask the hard questions and don't be guided by wishful thinking. Truth can be found wherever the evidence best supports it, but make sure that it's actually evidence and not unsupported claims. Religions are full of unsupported claims. Also, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. If I were to say I have a puppy at home, well, you would believe that because you know there are puppies, people keep them, and it doesn't cost you anything to believe it. But if I say that your eternal soul is in danger and you must believe the way I do in order to save it and tithe to my church for the rest of your life in order to keep your soul from falling into jeopardy, well, that would require extraordinary evidence. Don't just accept anecdotal evidence. And remember, the Bible is anecdotal evidence. We don't know who the original authors are. These are just stories that have been handed down for thousands of years, and we have to have more than the Bible's word for it. If a holy book is true simply because it says it's true, then all of the holy books of the world would be true. But they can't be true because they contradict each other. If to further question your religion, your religious beliefs, you could join groups and discuss these topics. Remember to be rigorous. Demand valid, well-supported evidence, not anecdotes or appeal to emotions. Be skeptical. Accept information only from experts in the field that are supported by research, not dogma or authority, and question even them. Make them explain their findings with real-world evidence. You can also empower women to control their own reproductive systems, support legislation that would guarantee equality for women so they have access to birth control. Not so that they won't have children, but that they won't have unwanted children. They will then have more control of their lives, and the society will be better for it. When I was a child in the early 50s, there were 4 billion people in the world. Now that number has almost doubled in my lifetime. If nothing is done to assure women's reproductive rights, we're looking at 16 billion in your child's lifetime. The Earth's resources are hard-pressed to support us now. What will be the situation then? The good news is that most countries are becoming more secular. It's certainly not universal, nor has it happened as fast as one might wish, but it is happening. The poll, called the Global Index of Religiosity and Atheism, found that the number of Americans who say they are religious has dropped from 73% in 2005 to 60% in 2012. At the same time, the number of Americans who say they are atheists rose from 1% to 5%. Now, that doesn't include all non-believers. These are all professed non-believers. I would say that the actual number of non-believers in America would be more like 20%. In the northwestern corner of America, Oregon and Washington, those states have already received polls that reflect 25% of the people, the population, are non-believers. Four countries, France, Switzerland, Ireland, and Vietnam, have seen religiosity drop by over 20% in the last decade. And in the next generation, those numbers will be even higher. And now I think we'll take a break for some music. This is Get Down on Your Knees, Dear Father, which, of course, is a nod toward Catholicism and the abuses of the Holy Fathers.
All dressed up like a Christmas tree, with velvet lace and gold, they took us to their sacred house, and we did what we were told. They filled up our heads with stories, and they told us that we could be saved if we sang and praised their hero. But he never showed his face. They warned us to watch out for Satan, who'd be waiting there to capture our soul. If we didn't heed all of their wishes, he would drag us all down through that hole. We'd burn and we'd scream there forever, and our cries, they would never be heard. Yes, the innocence of little children will accept the liar's word. Get down on your knees, dear Father, and beg now forgiveness for me. Show me that you're truly sorry for the person that I couldn't be. Show me some tears now of sorrow. Show me a face that is real. My innocent and lonely existence was never left there for you to steal. They take away all of your childhood. They'll rob you of all of your dreams. Their cruelty, it hurts and will leave you with scars that can never be seen. And we are all left here to suffer with the heartache of struggle and strife. And our tears, they'll never dry up. They follow us on through life. Get down on your knees, dear sister, and beg now forgiveness from me for the cruelty towards all those children and the pain that you'll never see. The mothers that lost all their babies and never would see them again. The cries from their beds still remain in their heads, and slowly it drives them insane. Your paintings, your gold, your chandeliers. Take all your sermons and all of your songs. You won't be back no more. Take your church and your holy shame, your evil deeds from where you came. Your candles have melted and no one cares. You won't be back no more. You won't be back no more. You won't be back no more.
And we're back. This is Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9, low power FM, Knoxville, Tennessee. Excuse me. Our phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, you can call in at 333-5937, 333-5937. Next, we'll talk about the atheist and rational groups that exist right here in Knoxville and how you can connect with them. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. It now has 580 members who are either full-time members, committed members, dues-paying members, as it were, and the rest are on the mailing list. You can find it online at KnoxvilleAtheists.org, or you can go to the meetup, meetup.com, and look up Knoxville Atheists there. We meet at the Old City in the Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria every Tuesday for happy hour, food, drink, and conversation. Everyone is welcome, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Apologies to Matt Delahunty. Then there's the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for 20 years. I remember joining them back in the 90s, back last year, last century. RET has biweekly presentations and discussions. They're a little more formal group than the Atheist Society of Knoxville, and they meet at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays at the Goins Administration Building, Cafeteria Annex. Just follow the signs or go to their website, rationalist.org, and click on times and directions. One thing I'd like to say is that they have a speaker every year that comes and talks to anybody who wants to come and listen. It's usually in the auditorium. There's no cost. It's a good way to get to know the subject and the people. This will be Jerry DeWitt. He is an ex-preacher, who has lost his faith and has written a couple of books about his journey from faith to reason. He's also gone through the clergy project. Now, if you're a preacher, you don't have many options if you lose your faith. You can stay in your job and keep your friends and family and your paycheck, even though you're living a lie, or you can join the clergy project who, well, one, protect your anonymity, and also try to help you gain some skills to go to work in the public sector, or private sector, I guess I should say. And just go online, look up the clergy project, and send an email to find out more about it, I guess, and sign up. Anyway, Jerry will be in town in May. May 7th, I think, is the name or the date of the talk, and all are welcome. That will be on Pellissippi State Campus. Also, there's the Sunday Assembly for those non-believers who miss church. The Sunday Assembly started in England just a couple of years ago and has spread across the world. It's a no-God church setting for those who have had enough of religion but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering every week. It doesn't meet here in Knoxville every week, but it does meet the fourth Sunday of each month. And, of course, if they do well, I'm sure that they will think about spreading to other Sundays and other times during the month. Sunday Assembly, Knoxville, is your Google search meme. And then there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie, community, and free thinking liaisons to any free thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement or just find secular companionship in the Bible Belt, which can be rare, especially if you're living at home with a very religious family. Okay. Excuse me. I've got another song here real quick, then we'll get into the second half of the show, which one we'll be talking about atheists even more. I mean, the atheist per se. And ask the question, why would you ask a preacher about atheists? But we'll get there in a minute. This is Stephen Stills' song, Do For the Other.
Round, round, up and down, all along the lonely town. See him sinking low, doesn't see the joy there is to know. And he cries from the misery. Chill wind hits his face. Was that a tear? I thought I saw a trace. Loving people everywhere. Where is she? She is not there. And he cries from the misery. And he lies singing harmony. Is gone, there is no tomorrow, it is done, so now he must borrow the life of his brothers, and living in sorrow must do for the others.
And we're back. One other thing I would like to mention before we go into this is that we have a Free Thought radio show, I'm sorry, TV show here in Knoxville. You're listening to the radio show. The TV show is much along the lines as the Atheist Experience TV show out of Austin, Texas. Did you know that we have had a atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville for over 5 years? That's right. And it's every Tuesday between 5 and 6 p.m. on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. It's called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it live on cable, or you can watch it streaming on live at ctvknox.org. Just if you want to find back-ordered, archived shows, go to YouTube, where a fan has been posting them. Go to YouTube and do a search for Free Thought Forum Knoxville. That's three words, not four. Free Thought is one word. Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Okay, on to the topic. I have a friend. It wasn't a very close friend. I'd only see him like at lunch when we'd visit the same buffet. And I got to talking to him occasionally. And I'd been working up a website and some videos about atheism, and I knew he was a believer. And he had asked me a few questions about it. But I thought that I would save a lot of breath and give him a CD that I had worked up on audio for my videos. And it basically had, half an hour of audio on there, which I had recorded answers to common Christian questions. Excuse me. So I gave him the CD, and I didn't see him for about a month. And then I saw him again at the buffet, and he gave me my CD back, and of course I asked him what he thought of it. He said, I didn't listen to it. I gave it to my preacher and let him listen to it, and then I asked him what I should think. And that is just so common. People want their preachers to think for them and tell them what to do. It's like they just hand over their mind, hand over their own intelligence to another person, and then ask them what they should do. I mean, this is the kind of thinking that brought about Jonestown and that Texas mess, I can't remember. But, I mean, you're abdicating your humanity is what you're doing. It's thought slavery. Anyway, that's one of my pet peeves is people ask their preacher about atheists. If they want to know about atheists, they should ask an atheist. And then the preachers pretend to know how atheists become atheists. They misrepresent the process either through ignorance or malice. It's not easy to tell which because I think they're trying to frame the subject for people who themselves are ignorant about it. But they're packaging it for them in their terms. Or either that or they're just clueless themselves. In an article that I wrote called, this is an article that Dr. Peregrino Bremaugh wrote, Atheism, an Objective Review. Now remember, Dr. Peregrino Bremaugh is a Christian, and in this article he claims that people come to atheism due to unanswered prayers, or because they are disappointed in God, or blame him for some physical or mental injury or disability. Atheists come to atheism because they don't believe that God is real, period. If they didn't, they wouldn't really be atheists, because that is the definition of the word. They don't become atheists because they are mad or disappointed at God. If that were the case, then they would still believe in him. They wouldn't like him, but they would believe in him. And if they believed in him, they wouldn't be atheists. See how that works? I stress this because I hear this argument all the time. You're just mad at God. If I were mad at God, I would believe in God. I would believe that he was real and had actual effect on my life. If that's the case, I wouldn't be an atheist. Anyway, because of the religious mindset, i.e. that everybody believes in God, they can make all kinds of excuses for a person turning their back on God as one would turn their back on a friend, a parent, or a public figure. But they can't just seem to grasp the fact that atheists actually come to their lack of beliefs because they finally understand that there's no God there to believe in, and that the many claims of Christianity and other religions just don't hold water. It seems impossible for them to convince, it seems impossible for them to conceive of people for whom God is simply not there. It would be impossible to blame someone who doesn't exist for doing you harm. Could you blame Poseidon for letting your mother die when you don't believe in him? We simply don't believe that God is there any more than Santa Claus is there or the Sandman is there. He doesn't exist, period. We can't make it any clearer than that. However, the problem is that instead of actually asking an atheist why they don't believe in God, people will go to the religious leaders for answers. Excuse me. The false reasons that preachers attribute to atheists for their non-belief are called straw man arguments. That is, they misrepresent someone's argument or position because the misrepresented argument is easier to dismantle. Preachers and Christian apologists can't successfully refute the actual reasons that someone might come to disbelief, so they create false arguments and present them to their flock as easily refutable, although false, claims by atheists. An example of one straw man argument is to be an atheist, you have to believe with absolute certainty that there is no God. And in order to convince yourself with absolute certainty, you must examine all of the universe and all of the places where God could possibly be. Since you obviously haven't, your position is undefensible. This is a straw man argument because it misrepresents what atheism is. Atheism is a term that pertains to belief, not knowledge. The above statement says, incorrectly, that atheists claim that they know that God does not exist. Claiming knowledge that God doesn't exist makes one a Gnostic. Since the person is making a positive claim, not a belief claim, they're making a knowledge claim. Personally, I'm an agnostic atheist. I don't know, agnosticism, that there aren't any gods, but I don't believe atheism in any. Hold on just a moment. Hello, you're on the air. My name is Larry. What, may I have a name or a nickname? I believe I can. Try it again. I want to get a good reading.
Okay, I can barely hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
No, still can't hear you. I can very faintly.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Much better.
All right. You have a question or comment? Yes, he's a young earth creationist that comes down every once in a while.
Right. And so we were having a discussion, and he was attempting to make straw man arguments out of evolution. And his whole gist of it was basically, you don't know, you didn't do the research. And
right.
So I kind of thought that's kind of a cop-out answer, because of course I didn't do the research. I'm not an evolutionary biologist. But, and I tried to point out that it was a straw man, and he's like, no, that's whatever.
Yeah. They're very good about just making claims, I mean, and just running with them. In this particular case, I've heard that a million times, say, you weren't there. Well, they weren't there either, but they claim that it's false. That's another claim. It's all just one claim against another, but the thing about it is, we have a huge body of science and medicine and inoculation data to tell us.
Do you believe that all of that has been manipulated and biased? It's all biased. That was what he was trying to tell me. And I couldn't get the point across to him, which was simply this.
Well, not only that, but we have direct results that science does good. I mean, our life expectancy has doubled in the last 200 years. We can actually cure diseases. Praying obviously doesn't.
Right, I know. It's just difficult to argue or to even have a discussion with a creationist or someone like that who just is attempting to spin your word and get mired in the semantics of verb, you know, verb meanings.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly challenging, and it was very frustrating. As I was speaking with this guy, he told me that you no longer speak with him. And I'm assuming for the same sort of reasons that
Well, the main reason I don't speak to him is he's a very rude individual. I mean, you can talk to him, and then he'll just sit there and laugh in your face and go off on some tangent, and I did not want to put up with that anymore.
And I think that's very, very honest assessment of what he's doing. And it came off that he's a shell. He's so eccentrically happy. It's obviously a front to me, and he's so cavalier and callous. It makes me question what his true motivations are.
Right. And he keeps coming to atheist meeting. He says that he's coming to the meetings to sharpen his skills, but I'm not too sure. I think he's actually trying to find out more about atheism because he's having his own doubts. But I don't know. I can't say that for sure.
I don't know, but it was just an interesting interaction that I had with him because I had never met him. I never spoke with him. But it came off very chilly, very, very like as if it was definitely a sort of a shyster. And I always say, follow the money. And
yeah.
I said that to him. He's like, well, who the Catholic Church does good or whoever.
Right.
And to me, the biggest point for us is that science has no reason to lie, and we don't have a dog in the fight. All we want to do is find knowledge. And it's very disingenuous to say that the Christian Church has the same motivation.
Right. I agree, and hope to see you at the next meetup.
Yeah, I'll be there on Tuesday. I love the show. You're doing a great job. It sounds great. I'll let you know, and I'll see you later.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Larry.
Bye-bye. And that was, I think you said Pete. Anyway, I think it's Dan. Anyway, getting back to our subject. Generally, the person who's making the straw man argument hasn't examined the entire universe himself for UFOs, Bigfoots, leprechauns, or fairies, but you don't have to search the entire universe before claiming not to believe in them, especially since there's never been any convincing evidence for their existence. It's the same with God. Another straw man argument that believers put forward for atheism is, atheists don't believe in anything. That's simply not true. Atheists are people, and as such, they believe in all sorts of things. Personally, I believe in living a good life, finding fulfilling work. I believe in taking care of my family and helping others. I believe in love, home, reading books, gathering with friends. Saying that atheists don't believe anything is dehumanizing. It's a false argument that presents atheists in such a light that it's easier to target them as the other and outsiders. Oprah Winfrey recently interviewed Diane Nyad, the 64-year-old marathon swimmer who recently swam from California to Florida. Nyad said that she was an atheist and in awe of the universe and humanity. And Oprah Winfrey said, well, I won't call you an atheist then. I think that you believe in awe and wonder, the mystery, then that's what God is. Because the straw man concept of atheism that Oprah had in her mind, one that said that atheists can't feel awe and wonder, because of that, she essentially called her guest a liar. It's such an affront to say that I know what you are and you don't. It's just unconscionable. You don't give your guest, you don't give the other person any benefit or credit for being human. Again, the straw man argument that Oprah labors under is that atheists are somehow less than human. If someone had asked Oprah before the show if awe and wonder were attributes that all humans shared, I assume she would have said yes, But when presented with a person who says she doesn't believe in God, but still felt awe, they had to be lying. You wouldn't go to a white supremacist to ask them to explain the black experience to you, would you? And you wouldn't ask an anti-Semite for information about Jews. So don't go to a preacher and ask them to explain atheism to you. That is, if you're interested in getting the truth about us anyway. If you want to know what an atheist is, ask us. And this show, the lines are open. I'm here and ready to talk. We're human. We're quite capable of expressing ourselves on the subject. If you don't know an atheist personally, then get online and read what they post. You can read actual atheist deconversion testimonies at positiveatheism.org or xchristian.net. If you want to know more about logical fallacies or how to construct a logical argument, go to infidels.org and search their library for logical constructs and logical fallacies. Okay, earlier, no we didn't. I think I'm ready for another song, give my voice a break. This will be The Skeptic in the Room by Eddie Scott.
I'm always amazed that some people believe things that defy common sense. How do they accept the bizarre and the odd for which there is no evidence? Sure, some people say that it's harmless, and I wish I could just let it go. But it's not what we know that makes trouble. It's what we know that just isn't so. It's always such a drag to be the skeptic in the room. I state my case and watch the room go silent as a tomb. Cause I'm the one who always says, how's that supposed to work? Which makes me end up sounding like an overbearing jerk. Yes, it's a drag to always be the lonely skeptic in the room. I have to speak my mind when pseudoscience starts to bloom. Although I try to hold my tongue, I just can't make it quit. Cause people sure believe some crazy shit. Her name is Laura, loves to talk about her aura. Every time she's off her game, her dented aura is to blame. She says everybody's got them, cameras have been known to spot a magic, mystic oral energy. One day I just had to ask her, Laura, make it clear, how's it all supposed to work? Please tell me, I'm all ears. How's an aura get created? Tell me, how's it generated? Is there a hypothesis for how an aura can exist? Maybe you're just having mood swings, which you blame on magic fool things. That's the last time Laura talked to me. It's always such a drag to be the skeptic in the room. I state my case and watch the room go silent as a tomb. Cause I'm the one who always says, how's that supposed to work? Which makes me end up sounding like an overbearing jerk. Yes, it's a drag to always be the lonely skeptic in the room. I have to speak my mind when pseudoscience starts to bloom. Although I try to hold my tongue, I just can't make it quit. Cause people sure believe some crazy shit. My friend Dennis, he's a scholar. His tech skills are named Top Dollar. Just a few short years ago, Dennis saw a UFO. Now he says they're all around us, aliens. In fact, surround us. Probably they're living right next door. I say, Dennis, tell me, buddy, help me understand. How can there be flying saucers buzzing round the land? How come every single sighting seems to come in lousy lighting? I could sure accept the truth with valid photographic proof. When you saw those lights are blinking, had you maybe just been drinking? Dennis doesn't call me anymore. It's always such a drag to be the skeptic in the room. I stake my keys and watch the room go silent as a tomb. Cause I'm the one who always says, how's that supposed to work? which makes me end up sounding like an overbearing jerk. Yes, it's a drag to always be the lonely skeptic in the room. I have to speak my mind when pseudoscience starts to bloom. Although I try to hold my tongue, I just can't make it quit. Cause people sure believe some crazy shit. Britney, she's a modern lady, rather green and quite new agey. Claims her latest malady was cured by homeopathy. She says it has magic rules. She takes some wholesome molecules, dissolve them in the purest H2O. Britney took this grand concoction and her pain was fixed. Come again, I had to say just what was in that mix. If it works well, what would then be? Water has selective memory, knows the good but not the shit that ever was dissolved in it. Thanks to science, here's what we know really. It's a big placebo. Britney told me just where I can go. It's always such a drag to be the skeptic in the room. I state my case and watch the room go silent as a tomb. Cause I'm the one who always says, how's that supposed to work? Which makes me end up sounding like an overbearing jerk. Yes, it's a drag to always be the lonely skeptic in the room. I have to speak my mind when pseudoscience starts to bloom. Although I try to hold my tongue, I just can't make it quit. Cause people sure believe some crazy shit. I have a friend, no doubting Thomas, quite devout and really honest, says despite what we've been told, the earth is really not that old. He will look no wiser, wherefore's that's what holy books are there for. Earth was born 6,000 years ago. To contradict you, Thomas, I admit to feeling grief, but maybe there's some evidence to counter your belief. Like chemistry, biology, astronomy, anatomy, astrophysics, botany, geology, zoology, molecular biology, physics, physiology. Thomas says someone fell burn in hell. It's always such a drag to be the skeptic in the room. I state my case and watch the room go silent as a tomb. Cause I'm the one who always said, how's that supposed to work? Which makes me end up sounding like an overbearing jerk. Yes, it's a drag to always be the lonely skeptic in the room. I have to speak my mind when pseudoscience starts to bloom. Although I try to hold my tongue, I just can't make it quit. Cause people sure believe some scary shit. My young neighbors Dave and Tina talked about how they had seen a former Playboy pinup queen speaking out against vaccines. Now they think it's realistic so that no one grows autistic not to vaccinate their little kids. Dave, please listen now before it really is too late. Don't take health advice from one to whom you used to masturbate. Beauty queens have certain assets. Science really ain't their strong set. You should get a good assist from a working scientist. Guys, I won't speak gingerly because this could cause great injury. The right thing is what Dave and Tina did. So it's not always such a drag to be the skeptic in the room. Sometimes I state my case and find that people will consume. Though I'm the one who always says, how's that supposed to work? It doesn't have to mean that I'm an overbearing jerk. No, it's not bad to always be the lonely skeptic in the room. But I'll still speak my mind when pseudoscience starts to bloom. Although I try to hold my tongue, I know I'll never quit. Cause people do believe, and man, do they believe. Yes, people do believe some crazy shit.
And we're back. Hold on there, next song. Okay, one thing you may be asking, what about all these miracle claims? I mean, I hear about miracles happening all over the place and all the time. In church, heck, they told me that they prayed for the car to start, and it started. Well, first of all, that's not much of a miracle. Cars start all the time. even when they've been given trouble. But even 250 years ago, at least one person knew that miracles should not be taken at face value. David Hume, who lived in the 1700s, was a Scottish philosopher. He was also a historian, an economist, and an essayist. He was one of the most important figures in the history of Western philosophy and the Scottish Enlightenment. In his An Inquiry Concerning Human Understanding, David Hume makes the argument that you have to give unreasonable amounts of credibility to the person who relates a miracle claim. That is, we cannot believe miracle claims because it would give more plausibility to an event that requires the suspension of physical laws than it would be that someone was either willingly or mistakenly distorting the truth. For instance, Christopher Hitchens often makes the case that in order to believe the story of the virgin birth of Jesus, you would have to give more credence, more credibility to the claim that a God impregnated a human young woman and that she, while a virgin, gave a birth to a different version of that same God. We have to give more credibility to that story than that a Jewish minx should tell a lie about the source of her pregnancy. One should also remember that was, by the way, a quote from Christopher Hitchens. One should also remember that at the time of the story, Joseph and Mary were not married, and that in that area, as it is today, not being a virgin on your wedding night is an offense that was punishable by stoning. So when somebody gives you a miracle claim, remember it is just a claim. And for it to be true, you would have to give more credit to the person relaying the claim that he was not mistaken, that he was not willingly distorting the truth, and that it actually happened than you would that he was distorting the truth or mistaken about seeing it. If you enjoyed the topics that we've been exploring on this show, then you can look for my website. I've got between 50 and 60 articles out there. It's digitalfreethought.com. And the articles of which I have there, I've also compiled into a book, Atheism, What's It All About?, available on Amazon and other quality booksellers. If you have a YouTube channel, you can visit my YouTube channel at Doubter5. Just type in Doubter5 or simply look for it by my name, Larry S. Rhodes. Also, don't forget to join us at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City every Tuesday from 5:30 to 8 for food, fun, conversation, and dinner and drinks. It's all good, and I guarantee you a great conversation. How many clubs can guarantee you that? Also, if you're a believer and would like to discuss these topics with others of different faiths and no faiths in an informal atmosphere, you can join Pub Theology the second Monday of each month. That's this coming Monday. At 6:30 this coming Monday at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in Maryville. This is not the one we normally meet at. This is the one in Maryville. It's on the main drag in Broadway in Maryville. And it starts at 6:30. There will be people from different faiths and no faiths there, and we have a good time just discussing theology for about 2 hours. Come join us. I'm going to play another song here. This is God Said by Anthony David.
Christy, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people might not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, and they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. Mm. True story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. Ever since, they have been cursed.
Come shake the hand of my imaginary friend. See the trouble he gets in can't be traced back to me. Oh, he can pretend at the slightest of his whim. He has the power to suspend all rules of morality. And when he gets angry, he can make a lightning strike. He can help me win the fight with his power. Yes, he speaks Cause I can just ask for forgiveness and it's over. So you can't put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. What God said. Don't you put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. What God said.
So you're praying for the death of the President of the United States. Do you think it's appropriate to say something like that? Or
I'm not saying anything. What I'm doing is repeating what God is saying.
In the name of the one who made us all, I will hide behind these walls from my enemies. By the power bestowed from up above, I will conquer you because it is my destiny. And with the righteous hand, I will bring you to your knees. I will strip you of your freedom without mercy. And when the earth quakes and the blood runs in the sand, there will be no final stand for the unworthy. So you can't put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. Don't you put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. What God said. I stand on a mountaintop on a solid rock. I stand upon this truth and I won't be moved. I stand and when I come to claim my victory, so you can't put the blame on me. I'm doing what you're doing.